Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharne, Nirvishesha, Shunivadi, Paskatya, Desitarne. Om Agyana Devanandasya, Gananjana Salakaya, Chachur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Gadamaya, Dati Swapadantikam, Pandeham Shigaro, Shiuta Paradamalam, Shigaro Vaishnavamscha, Shirupam Sagrajatam, Sahagara Raghunatam, Vidham Tam Sadivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Vrindana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shiva Sagam Vidham Sha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Hilavando Vigatate, Kopesha Kopika Panta, Radha Panta Namostate, Tapakanche Gorani, Radhe Vrindavani Shri, Prishubhanu Sudadevi, Pranamami Rikriye, Panchakapa Dhruvyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patidanam Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Momaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitananda, Shedvaitanirana Shivasini Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chanda Vega on the city of Paranjana, text number 12. Uteshu
Devam
Pramatasya Uteshu Devam Pramatasya
Uteshu Devam Pramatasya
Kutumba Sakta Chetasa
Kutumba Sakta Chetasa
Sasada Savai Kalo Yoshitam
Yopriya Priya Yoshitam
Uteshvevam Pramatasya
Uteshvevam Pramatasya
Kutumba Sakta Chetasa
Kutumba Sakta Chetasa
Asasada Savai Kalo
Asasada Savai Kalo
Yopriya Priya Yoshitam
Yopriya Priya Yoshitam
Yukteshu,
Yukteshu.
To beneficial activities.
Evam,
Evam,
thus.
Pramatasya,
Pramatasya.
Being inattentive.
Kutumba,
kith and kin.
Asakta,
attached. Retasa, Chetasa,
consciousness,
Asasada, arrive, Saha, that, Vai,
certainly,
Hala,
time,
Ya,
which,
Apriyaha,
not very pleasing.
Kriya Yoshitam, persons attached to women. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus King Paranjana, being attached to fruit activities, karma kandiya, as well as kit and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Purva. In this verse, the words Kriya Yoshitam and Apriyaha are very significant. The word Yoshit means woman, and Kriya means dear or pleasing. Death is not very much welcome for those who are too much attached to material enjoyment, which culminates in sex. There is an instructive story in this connection. Once, when a saintly person was passing on his way, he met a prince, the son of a king, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear prince, may you live forever." The sage next met a saintly person and told him, You may either live or die." Eventually the sage met a brahmachari devotee and blessed him, saying, "My dear devotee, may you die immediately." Finally the sage met a hunter and he blessed him, saying, "Neither live nor die." The point is that those who are very sensual and engage in sense gratification do not wish to die. The honorary prince has enough money to enjoy his senses. Therefore, the great sage said he should live forever. For as long as he lived, he can enjoy life, and after his death, he would go to hell. Since the brahmachari devotee was leading a life of severe austerities and penances in order to be promoted back to Godhead, the sage said that he should die immediately, so that he need not continue to labor hard and could instead go back home, back to Godhead. Saintly person may either live or die, for during his life he's engaged in serving the Lord, and after his death he also serves the Lord. Thus, this life and the next are the same for a saintly devotee. From both, he serves the Lord. Since a hunter lives a very ghastly life due to killing animals, and since he will go to hell when he dies, he's advised to neither live nor die. King Puranjana finally arrived at the point of death, old age. In old age, the senses lose their strength. And although an old man desires to enjoy his senses, and especially sex life, he is very miserable because his instruments of enjoyment no longer function. Such sensualists are never prepared for death. They simply want to live on and extend their life, a so-called scientific advancement. Some foolish Russian scientists also claim that they're going to make man immortal through scientific advancement. Under the leadership of such crazy fellows, civilization is going on. Cruel death, however, comes and takes all of them away, despite their desire to live forever. This type of mentality was exhibited by Hiranyakashipu. But when the time was right, the Lord personally killed him within a second. So, translation again, or I'll read the text of the censor. Yukte shrevam brahmatasya kutumba sakta chetasa asa sada savai kalo yo priya priya yoshitam. Thus King Puranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, karmakanda, as well as kith and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Guzaya Srimade Bhakti Granta Swami Dhinamane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paska Vyade Siddharana. Nice to be here in Melbourne and see all the devotees here. It's nice to see so many devotees wanting to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And obviously, Melbourne weather is such that we can understand the Bhagavatam more clearly about the miseries of life. Krishna has kindly put us in Melbourne, so the desire for material enjoyment will diminish. So here it says about death. Generally people don't like to talk about death in polite company, because ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam chesha stavar icchanti kimascharyam taksaparam. The Maharajuna was asked by his father in the form of a yaksha, what is the most amazing thing? He said, the most amazing thing is that at every moment, either we're directly seeing, or maybe not seeing so much, human beings, but other types of creatures. It's like they said that in the fires in Victoria and North South Wales, 500 million animals perished in the fire. So far. That's a lot of animals. So we're hearing about these, so many living entities are entering into the jaws of death. But those who are staying behind, they think that they're going to stay here forever. One time Srila Prabhupada was going to a doctor in Los Angeles, and he, on his way back from the doctor, he passed by a movie theater. And the name of the movie that was playing was Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada came back to the LA temple, and you can hear the lecture. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada mentions to the devotees, who most of them were going out in book distribution at that time, or hurrying on. He said, when you go out, I saw this title of the movie, Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada said, when you go out and you meet the materialists, you should tell them that they don't have to worry, that there is sex after death, and 8,400,000 species. So if they hear this, then they won't be afraid of death. So everyone is afraid, that death is going to come and take everything away, and they don't know where they're going. But they can be sure they'll get the best possible opportunity for sense gratification in one of the 8,400,000 species of life, if that's their objective. The human form of life is not very good for sense gratification. For a little sense gratification, one has to work so hard. But if one becomes a pigeon or a monkey, in Vrindavan, they have 20 wives. And they don't have to work for them either. Because they're all, everyone in Vrindavan, amongst all the monkeys, they're all renunciates. Although they don't beg for their food, so they usually steal it. But still, it's free. And they don't have to worry about decorating their wives, because their wives are always naked. They're also naked, so there's no clothes expense. There's no expense for the houses, because they live on the ledges, on fences, or something like that. There's no question of educating their children, because everyone lives in they're very simple. You just have to learn how to steal bananas, and your economic problem is solved. Or glasses, actually, they advance those glasses. Or they steal a lot of Mahaprasadam. They probably get more Mahaprasadam than any of us. So the monkeys, and they have opportunity to have so many wives. So it's a life, less anxiety, and a lot of sense gratification. And no one's going to complain. No one will criticize the monkey for being naked. No one will criticize the monkey for not having a job or not educating his children. It's perfectly satisfied, and no one criticizes them. I don't know what goes on amongst the monkeys, but So, if one wants Sanskrit, pure Sanskrit education, then the human form of life is not very good, because there is so much interference. Devotees will come up and say, chant Hare Krishna, or they may even tell us we're not this body, or they'll try to sell us a book, or the holy name, and our minds will become disturbed, deviated from the path of unalloyed Sanskrit education. So people don't like that because they've made the goal of life to enjoy the senses until the end of life as the prime necessity of human civilization. And although it's producing, as Krishna said, so much anxiety, they don't recognize the source of anxiety. They think that they're in anxiety because they're not getting enough sense gratification. They're trying to put out the fire of material desire by pouring gasoline on it. And of course, as Prabhupada would say, when you pour gasoline on a fire, at least temporarily it'll go out, but then it'll blaze even stronger. It's like the firefighters in Victoria, they're not pouring gasoline, I hope they're not pouring gasoline on the forest fires. Although there are a class, they say that they've arrested 200 people in Australia for starting the bushfires. In America, that's very common, that in California, for instance, they've arrested so many firemen because when there's a forest fire, then they get overtime. So they make more money. The bigger the fire, the longer it goes on, the more money they make. So it's an economic incentive to start fires fire. But generally people who are sane, they don't throw gasoline on a fire to put it out. But in the material world, because people are not, their intelligence has been taken away by the illusory energy, they don't know that by trying to gratify their senses, Abhidham Jnane Palashi, Krishna says, Yamena Vriyate Vandir, Hitardar Shomleya Cha, Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, so the living entities are covered by different degrees of loss. Avritam gena ekena, gena no nitivarena, karma rupena kundiya, duspraena, malena cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So this doesn't sound very good. That's why people don't like to read the Bhagavad Gita. It spoils their imagination, their romance. And how does it all start? Where is this all coming from? It's all coming from advertisement. Indriyani Manobhudhir Asidishtanam Uchade, Ekarvi Mahadyaptesha, Jnanam Avritideyina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders it. And Prabhupada explains that when we hear about the glories of sense gratification, which is what modern society is mostly based on, and then the mind becomes the repository of all kinds of desire. It's the whole idea of modern society, because modern society is not based upon dharma. It's based upon artha for kama, economic development for sense gratification. Because there's no conception that kevidu swartha kateemi vishnu dharashayaya bahya artha manina. There's no conception that the goal of life is liberation. What to speak of obtaining Krishna? The whole idea is make money and enjoy senses as much as possible. So there's so much advertisement how to make money. People write books, how to make $1 million in 3 months, because they're broke. So they need the money, so they write such books. Hoping to make their first million by selling the book. So, people, they're trying to obtain the means of sense gratification. And in order to do that, they're advertising, buy this, buy that, buy this other thing, this will solve all your problems, the iPhone 12 will cook your breakfast. So much advertisement, and people are lining up. If you, in America, or I guess around the world, if you go to the city, you'll find so many people in the Temple of Apple store. And what's in the store? There's a few deities. It's not Krishna Balaram or Gornidai or Radha Balava. It's iPhones. People are going around with their hands praying, please, if there's a God, give me an iPhone. So people are praying like that. They go to the stores and they look around and their desires increase. And they chant iPhone 12, iPhone 12 in their heart. Because they're only up to 11, but iPhone 11 is just a preview for iPhone 12. And then for the desire, as soon as the mind becomes a repository of all desires, material lust, then the senses become agitated. What can we do to obtain this desired object? And as soon as one, the soul, because the soul is not just a helpless victim, if the soul has no intelligence, of which I don't know where they get it from unless they got it from Prabhupada's books, certainly not modern education, or mass media, social media, is not giving them intelligence. But if they have no intelligence, then immediately the soul says, how to get it? How to utilize my senses in order to get fulfill my desires? And so, nature, material nature, supplies lusty intelligence. And lusty intelligence supplies a false ego, by which one identifies oneself with one's mind and senses in order to utilize the senses in order to gratify one's desires. So the opposite is that one is Krishna conscious. As I said, just like if a man's walking down the street and he sees an attractive woman, then immediately the mind says, go get her. She's yours. But she happens to be walking next to a man and she has a dot on her forehead. So the intelligence says, wait a second, she might be married. She has a dot on her forehead and she has a man next to her. And the false ego says, oh, don't listen to that stupid intelligence. he probably read in some book like Bhagavad Gita 20 years ago. So if the soul has not assimilated any knowledge, it's simply superficial, then the soul may decide, all right, intelligence, think of a plan how to get her. So the intelligence says, write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen, and put in very small print in the last 2 weeks. Just to be honest. Tell her you're madly in love with her. She should meet you in such and such place at such and such time. And you'll give her the sun, and you'll give her the moon. And if she's nice to you, you'll give her a couple extra stars along with her. But don't sign the letter, because that man next to her is twice as big as you are. So in this way, the intelligence acts as an instrument to gratify the mind and senses under the direction of the false ego that the soul is surrendered to. On the other hand, if one has sufficient knowledge, then the intelligence says, wait a second, she might be married, you read in Bhagavad Gita, that's not a good idea, actually you should engage them in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service. So you should go up to them and give them a Bhagavad Gita and a Krishna book and ask them for donation. So that's proper use of intelligence. Sometimes intelligence comes about by hearing from the right source, just as the material intelligence comes about by hearing from the wrong source, from the materialistic source. Who's a tendriya pritika? That material life means to try to gratify these senses, because we think about these senses, and as mentioned here, it all culminates in sex life. And when one is involved in sex life or in any kind of sense gratification, then the result is that one loses his intelligence, his spiritual intelligence. And one will simply see man or woman, or nowadays, to be anything. There's endless varieties of possibilities to become enthusiastic about. So such intelligence is because when one's intelligence is lost, it's not that we lose our material intelligence, it's just our spiritual intelligence is replaced by material intelligence. Instead of seeing Vidya Vanaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastani, Shruti Chaiva, Svapakesha, Pandita Samadarshana. Instead of seeing the learned, as the learned sage does, as the learned sages, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the dog. She starts the Brahman, the dog eater, the elephant, cover Vidya Vinaya Sambhat Brahmani, the Brahman, Gavi, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. So what one sees with the eyes of devotion, that the one is trying to engage another living entity in Krishna service, then one will see that living entity in relation to Krishna. And if we take Krishna away, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhoga Vanchetare, that as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then instead of becoming a servant of Krishna, uniting Radha and Krishna together, Krishna and his devotees together, then we try to imitate Krishna. Material world is simply an imitation, that I am Romeo and you are Juliet, I am Tarzan, you are Jane, I'm Mickey Mouse, you're Minnie Mouse. Something, some motif is there. That's how we see the material world. So it's a question of having sufficient intelligence to first of all know that everything belongs to Krishna and is meant for Krishna's service. Now, what is the major impediment for ourselves to actually attain that platform? The major obstacle is sex desire. Sex desire manifested itself in a variety of material consciousness, which culminates in our upadis, our mistaken identities, that I am male, you are female, I'm Indian, American, Russian, this and that, any identification of the body, or with the mind, or we can say ultimately the false ego. So this identification of the false ego we're supposed to give up at the time of initiation. That's what initiation is meant for, not to throw grains into the fire or to get rid of our sinful activities. Sometimes this idea that we're throwing grains in the fire and every grain we throw in, my sin is transferred from me to my poor spiritual master. That as the fire grows dark, he seems to be growing darker. More grains we throw in, more I feel lighter, and he looks like he's heavier. So at the end of the fire sacrifice, I'm supposed to give him some dakshin to pay for the medical expenses. So this is not the point of the fire sacrifice. Of initiation. The point of initiation is at the time of initiation, I'm giving up my false ego of thinking myself to be an independent enjoyer and controller of the material energy. That I have some plan to become prominent. Me becoming prominent means make my body prominent, and ultimately my false ego prominent. That, as Jarasandha, when he was approached by Bhima and Arjuna and Krishna told Jarasandha that if you give us some charity, because Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima approached Jarasandha as brahmanas in order to beg for him the opportunity to a duel. So when Jarasandha saw that they're actually kshatriyas imitating brahmanas, he felt compassion for these poor fallen kshatriyas. And he was going to give them charity. But Krishna encouraged him by saying, "My dear Jarasandha, in the past, great devotees like Shibi, he sacrificed his own flesh to save a pigeon. Maharaj Rangi Dev, who's going to die from starvation and lack of water in order to be charitable. So many persons in the past, they gave up, they sacrificed their own bodies and they attained immortal fame." So when Jarasandha heard this, he became very enlivened. "Yes, if I can sacrifice my head, I'll do it. If I can satisfy my false ego and get eternal fame." So ultimately we're working under the direction of the false ego in order to imagine ourselves be some hero or heroine in some drama that's going on, that I, as I said, I'm some special person, meant to either control the material nature in the mode of ignorance, enjoy the material nature in the mode of passion, or save everyone in the mode of goodness. They're all different phases of the false ego. So initiation means to give up this conception and become dasa, dasa, anudasa. That is, whoever we meet, that we're supposed to help them become Krishna conscious. When we meet Krishna, we're supposed to be in the mood of prema, trying to serve Krishna. When we see the devotees, where we should be in the mood of trying to assist them in their development of Krishna consciousness and cooperate with them in helping the innocent become conscious of Krishna. And when we see those who are against Krishna, we just avoid them because we know that we might become affected by their bad association and we may not have the power in order to help them. But if inside the Hare Krishna movement we maintain our false egos in some way or another, and there is some obstacle of seeing all the devotees with transcendental discrimination and expertise. Discrimination means, according to Sri Rupa Goswami, we discriminate devotees not on the basis of who they're initiated by or when they were perhaps initiated. The primary discrimination is how advanced they are in undeviated, uninterrupted service, unalloyed service to Krishna, and to their acharyas in disciplic succession. And then we expertly, with expertise, we serve them in the six loving exchanges. Any other obstacle to that, any other type of discrimination, will simply become an upadhi, a false designation, which will actually obstruct our developing of love for Krishna. And if we don't develop love for Krishna, then we can't enter into the mysteries of his understanding. And therefore we remain on the neophyte platform, identifying ourselves with our gross and subtle material bodies. So there's no alternative, as the Prabhupada writes, initiation is, without initiation one remains in the material conception of life. There's no question of developing Krishna consciousness, but we have to understand what initiation means. It means to give up our false ego, not develop another false ego, another upadhi. And if we don't develop the loving exchanges with the devotees appropriately, then we'll be committing the offenses against devotees, and our devotional service will actually not advance. And if it doesn't advance, then we'll become simply cultivating, usually, well, we might become floating just a little inch above the ocean of material existence. We may struggle, or we may even commit aparads, And we might find ourselves fighting with each other or developing romantic notions toward each other and then winding up fighting with others. Therefore, we have to cooperate, Prabhupada said. Cooperate, and we have to cooperate under the direction of those who know how to cooperate. Those who have a vision which will actually inspire us in the cooperation to both exchange the loving exchanges amongst the devotees. That's our sadhana in the morning. And at the same time, go out and help the innocent, cooperate with each other to actually bring the innocent people into Krishna's family so they can also understand what the goal of life is and how to achieve it. Then the Hare Krishna movement will actually progress. But if we maintain our independent attitudes and we don't see others in relation to Krishna and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement as sources of our service, as objects of our service, if we don't discriminate on the basis of transcendental knowledge and engage expertly in serving others, then our devotional service won't actually develop. And we'll remain on this material platform. And if our devotional service doesn't develop, then the Hare Krishna movement won't develop. And we'll wonder why we're not making progress. And if we don't make progress, then we'll always be afraid that we're going to die and what's going to happen next. Because these things are only revealed to the devotees who actually come to an advanced platform of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? What time does the class usually end?
45.
What's that?
8:45.
Do I hear 8:20?
8:45, if we're lucky.
8:30. What time does it usually end?
8:30.
8:30, okay. So any questions? Comments? So what did you learn from the class? Yes. Do we have a microphone? What's that?
You need to buy one.
Oh, okay.
We learn that every class.
Just repeat.
Okay, tell me the question. Well, not the question, what your comment is.
Yeah, the false ego is always preaching to the intelligence. So we need to convince our intelligence by hearing the scripture constantly.
But when our intelligence is not pure, when our intelligence is not based on the scripture, then the intelligence acquired, less the intelligence acquires a false ego. In other words, less the intelligence encourages the soul to acquire false ego, because only with a false ego can the soul become enthusiastic to gratify its desires. But that's good. What did you learn?
I want to find out if the false ego in the mode of goodness wants to save everybody, then how do we have that desire? How do we get that desire to help to serve devotees and then to help the innocent people, as you were saying, in the world?
False ego in the mode of goodness has the desire, has the idea that they're saving everyone.
Right.
Now, to have the desire to save ourselves, that's the first thing. Right. We're taking shelter of our acharyas and the bona fide spiritual masters in disciplic succession to save ourselves. And when we try to save ourselves as much as we save ourselves, then we become an instrument for the previous acharyas. So Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, one should not think himself to be a great savior. One should consider oneself to be an instrument for the previous acharyas. We're not saving anyone. The acharyas in the disciple succession are saving us, and they're using what we identify with. They're allowing Krishna to utilize his energies to save others. So So the whole idea is we simply don't get in the way, and Krishna will save others. The less we get in the way, the more effective Krishna can work. So we're just trying to take shelter. The more we take shelter, the less we'll think ourselves with controllers and the enjoyers. We'll think ourselves with the servants of the servants. Anything else? Yes.
It's not related to today's class. Is it okay to ask?
Yeah.
From the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter where the sinful reactions getting burned up by devotional service. So there's a term used that devotional service burns the reactions a priori, a posteriori. I couldn't
ask.
Yeah. What, like, is that?
Oh, we have.
What is that?
You can read the Nectar of Devotion, it explains about that, or even more carefully explained in the ways of devotion. We have two types of, well, first of all, everything is based on avidya or ignorance. That we don't know who we are, we don't know anything. And then, not knowing who we are, we're trained up by ignorant people to acquire a asmita or a false ego, false identity. And along with that false ego comes attachments and aversions. And then being absolved of those attachments and aversions, we have vinivesita, or absorption in fear and anxiety, especially death. Now, avidya is the basis, and from avidya comes the seed, the bija, for a material desire. And material desire manifests itself in karmic activities. Following desire, we wind up with paratha or paratha karma. Paratha is the karma that we're living through now due to our past sinful activities. And our paratha is the reaction we're going to get because we're performing sinful activities now. And we get the immediate reaction called, we get the present reaction called parabdha karma. And a parabdha karma is stored up as a kuta, or a tendency in the future to perform sinful activities. Within some future time, or even some future birth, will wind up to be a desire, a seed for material activities, sinful activities, which will manifest itself again as present parabdha karma, and then some of that will be stored up as aparabdha karma, which will give us a tendency in the future. So it's a cycle that goes on. So devotional service principally destroys avidya. Therefore, actually, technically speaking, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about yatadam sisam ridom nira bhasvat sakru terjana. As the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of knowledge turn to ashes all the reactions to our past activities. So technically speaking, Krishna is talking about transcendental knowledge, because he is knowledge, he's the goal of knowledge, he's the end of knowledge, etc. But basically speaking, the Dhammi, Buddhi, Ogam, Dhamma, Krishna giving us transcendental knowledge, so intelligence, so that we can utilize the mind and senses in devotional service. And we get the inspiration and the understanding how to properly engage our senses and mind in Krishna service. We get the perspective to do it and the inspiration to do it, especially to engage in the six loving exchanges with the devotees, engage the preaching work of Krishna consciousness, and avoid or defeat the atheists. And love Krishna, of course. So, that transcendental knowledge enables us to perform devotional service, and by devotional service, Krishna, when he's pleased with us, when he sees we're tolerant and determined, then he destroys it with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness point of ignorance, and then it becomes, we realize Krishna, and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. Then our sinful reactions are actually nullified. But that, as Prabhupada writes, as it's well, writes in that, generally speaking, it goes from destroying avidya, and then I think kuta, there's an order of gradually how sinful reactions and activities are destroyed. And I think the last one to go is, the last one to go is parabdha karma. So the kutam, the desire for material, the stored up karma, the bija, the material desires, the aparabdha karma, the future karma, the avidya is destroyed as we become purified by coming in contact with Krishna through pure devotional service. The last one is destroyed is the parabdha karma. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, if you were explaining about acting as an instrument to avoid the false ego. Sometimes you get recognized as the best instrument, you get the appreciation, and then your false ego is identifying that you are you can save, you can be the best instrument in Krishna service like that. So how can you avoid that serving Krishna? How can you handle this fame, recognition and appreciation that you're serving Krishna best?
How can you avoid it? Well, that's what knowledge has been for. Unless we understand properly how things are working, they'll actually think ourselves to be the doer. Prabhupada Kriyamanani Gurai Karmani Sarvashana Ahankara Gudama Kartaham Iti Manjate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, living and he thinks himself to be the doer of activities, which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. And even if they're not carried out by the modes of nature, if they're carried out by the spiritual nature, that doesn't mean they're carried out by our nature. It's Krishna's energy that's doing it. We're simply, by the mercy of our spiritual master, in the simple succession, we have enough intelligence that we should surrender and give up our false ego. And then allow the spiritual nature to do it. So what we're watching is not ourselves performing activities, we're watching the spiritual energy performing the activities. As Prabhupada once said in a Nectar of Devotion lecture in 1972, that the spiritual master, he knows that he's completely dependent on his spiritual master in the simple succession, his instruction. And by the mercy of the super soul, he's being supplied those instructions. And when he gives others those instructions, he knows they're not his instructions, they're his spiritual master's instructions, given appropriately by the super soul in the heart. And when he sees his followers, the disciples, performing devotional service, he knows that they're doing so because of the mercy of his spiritual master and the super soul. And when he watches, sees them performing devotional service, he learns from them how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. So he appreciates how they're serving his spiritual master's instructions. And therefore he learns how to become a better servant of his spiritual master through them. And therefore he takes his disciples and followers as a kind of spiritual master for himself. Otherwise, we're misunderstanding things. Is that clear? We're clear. All right. Thank you very much. Did you have a question? What's that?
What's a false ego?
What's a false ego? Well, who are you? Who are you? What's your name? What's that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya. Tasi? Or are you actually Chaitanya Priya? You are. Well, that's false ego. Usually we have the word, you're Chaitanya Priya. You're dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But who's dear? Is your body dear? Or who are you? Are you your body? That your mother instructor. Are you a soul or are you a body?
Soul.
You're the soul. So when you think you're the soul, that's real ego. I am the soul. And when you think you're your body, that's called false ego. false identification. Do you ever identify yourself with your body? Yes? Yes. That's called false ego. Do you ever identify yourself as Krishna's servant? Yeah. That's really good. Yes.
No, Maharaj, Hare Krishna. During devotional service, sometimes you're relaxing and reading. What is the call of it? Sometimes you are very excited.
Yes,
and sometimes
you're
so down.
Yes, usually we take shelter of Krishna because we're suffering. And when the suffering goes away, we look around for something to enjoy. That's usually it. We become very sincere when we're in difficulty. And as soon as we're out of the difficulty, we think, thanks a lot, Krishna. I'll see you next Jamasa. And then we get ourselves in trouble again.
You know,
what's that?
Anarthas.
Yeah, there's a few things we have to work on. Thank you very much, Brother Ashma Bhagavatam. Yeah. Shilabhropada.